You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. Community Works of Jackson County will convene its ambassadors at 5 p.m. on January 15th at Pascal Winery for a gathering centered on connection, awareness, and impact of human trafficking in Jackson County. Two of the co-presenters scheduled for the convening are with me here in the studio this morning. Tanya Day is the Community Outreach Manager at Community Works. Welcome to the Exchange, Tanya.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike.
And Crystal Bueller is the Justice Services Program Manager. Welcome to the Exchange, Crystal.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with your roles at Community Works, Tanya.
So my role at Community Works is Community Outreach Manager. That's kind of a two-part role. So I run our 24/7 helpline, which is a crisis line for anybody reaching out for services or support around any of our victimizations. And I also get out in the community, provide education and outreach with our community partners to really talk about the victimizations and the people that we serve.
And how long have you been there?
I have been about 2 years at Community Works.
So what brought you to this work?
Well, I think like a lot of us that do this kind of work, I have my own history, not with trafficking, but with domestic violence as a survivor and also witnessing it in my family. I've also been dedicated throughout my career to working with marginalized populations, especially youth. So this work has just really called to me.
Gotcha. So you were inspired by your own experience.
Absolutely, yes.
And Crystal, what do you do at Community Works?
Well, I have the pleasure and honor of being the Justice Services Program Manager. So I help run a team of amazing advocates that are sprinkled throughout our justice system here in Jackson County. So we have one at the Medford Police Department, one at Community Justice, a JCSO co-located advocate, as well as a court advocate. And then I also help run our trafficking team.
Okay, and how long have you been there?
I've been with Community Works for 10 years.
And what brought you to this work?
Well, like Tanya was saying, a lot of us come from a place. I'm a survivor of domestic violence, and I was called to this work because I remember what it was like going through the justice system, trying to get away from my abuser and not knowing where to go or what came next, and it was really scary. So when I started at Community Works, I started as a volunteer, and I fell in love with the agency.
Okay, so both of you have personal experiences that help you relate to others.
Yes.
And now you've become solution-oriented agents.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so let's jump into this month of January as the Human Trafficking Awareness Month. Let's start with, what does human trafficking even mean?
Well, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of misconceptions around what human trafficking is. So at the base level, it's a crime that involves coercing a person to provide labor, services, or to engage in commercial sex. And that's often done by fraud or force. And so a lot of people think of trafficking as what we see in the media, where people are kidnapped, taken out of the country, sold. While that does happen, the majority of trafficking happens right in our community and in our homes, in our schools. And it's traffickers targeting people for their own benefit, for their own financial benefit.
Mm. And how would you describe the impact of human trafficking here in Jackson County?
Well, we definitely see it in our own county. Community Works has served about 100 trafficking survivors per year the last few years. And those numbers are drastically lower than what we're actually seeing. Those are reported cases. But we see it in our schools, like I said, and in our community quite often.
When you talk about the numbers, how do you determine that someone has been trafficked and that becomes part of that statistic?
So the statistics that we have are reported cases, either to law enforcement or big trafficking agencies. A lot of times what we see is people coming in saying they're experiencing domestic violence or sexual assault and not even understanding that that's trafficking. So through working with them, they do realize that they are the survivor of trafficking. But our nationwide statistics and statewide does not show all of the trafficking that we're really seeing.
So speaking of state and national, what are our data versus the state data and national?
Sure. So like I said, we see about 100 survivors a year. Oregon, for the state of Oregon, they've identified around 200 to 250 survivors of trafficking, and that has been reported to law enforcement, and something has come of that case. Nationwide, about 12,000 cases are reported through law enforcement, so those numbers are drastically lower than how many people are actually experiencing trafficking.
Right. That's just what the data shows.
Yeah.
That's what's known.
What's being reported.
That's what's being reported. Yeah. But it struck me that you said the state is reporting about 250 cases of human trafficking in the year, and 100 of those come right out of Jackson County.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have a pretty high rate of trafficking here. That could be for a lot of different reasons, but also we have resources to identify those. So there are a lot of rural counties that don't have resources for trafficking survivors, so a lot of those go unidentified.
Are there certain populations that are more at risk than others?
Absolutely. So traffickers really target their victims through a grooming process, and they target vulnerable populations, marginalized communities, people that don't have access to resources or their own friends and loved ones to help keep them safe. So they definitely target the most vulnerable of our populations.
And does the rural regions that we live in, does that play a factor?
It can definitely play a factor, absolutely, yes. When there's a lack of resources and a lack of ways for these survivors to get help and seek help, then that can make them more vulnerable.
Okay, so what happens when someone is involved in that kind of experience? How do they reach out? How do they connect with you all?
Well, I think, you know, the main way for them to connect is through our helpline. So we have a 24/7, 365-day-a-year helpline, and we're really getting out there and educating people that even if you think something might be happening, even if you're seeing some kind of red flags, call us. We'll talk you through it. That's 541-779-HELP. So people can call anytime. We also try and get out in the schools. We're going to Medford School District now and talking to children in middle school and high schools to educate them on what that looks like so they can reach out on our helpline, and we will get people connected with services.
So that's 541-779-HELP.
HELP, which is 779-4357.
So you mentioned schools multiple times.
Yeah.
That sounds like there's something happening in our schools. Help me out. What's going on?
Well, you know, like we talked about, you know, vulnerable populations, there are vulnerable students who maybe not have the family support, especially with online targeting now that traffickers are using. So they will find kids online, they will build a relationship, they will gain trust, and then they will end up trafficking these children. And so it's really important that kids know from a younger age of how to be safe out there, what this grooming process looks like, what trafficking is, and how to reach out for help.
And so you have partnerships with the schools?
We do. We're in Medford School District right now, and we're hoping to expand that and be in other districts.
Okay. And at what age groups are we talking about?
We've been starting in middle school age right now. There are conversations you can have with younger kids, but right now we're focusing on middle school and high school.
My guests are Tanya Day and Crystal Bueller of Community Works. They're co-presenters at the upcoming gathering of Community Works ambassadors on January 15th at Pascal Winery. So tell me more about this gathering of ambassadors, and what is an ambassador?
Well, our gathering of ambassadors, it's a volunteer program and a way for our community to connect. We hold this once a month, and it's anybody that's interested in getting a little more education about our victimizations that maybe want to see how they could help out the agency or survivors in our community. We gather and we talk about the issues. We do education and activities, and then there are opportunities for people to help more with the agency and with these survivors if they choose to.
Okay, so an ambassador is not someone that has a badge or deputized or anyway. They're just curious. They're just interested.
Absolutely. They're interested and, you know, they want more education and want to help. We also have a task force in Jackson County, and there is also a place on the task force for people that just want to help. You don't have to have any training or background.
Okay. And Crystal, you're one of the co-presenters at the Pascal Winery on January 15th, right?
Yes.
What will you be talking about?
I will be talking about, so last year at the January Human Trafficking Ambassadors meeting, our amazing ambassadors gathered like things for survivors. So oftentimes when we're helping people who are trying to get out of a trafficking situation, they often have to leave with nothing. And so our ambassadors gathered things like deodorant, chapstick, washcloth, soap. And we were able to put those in bags so that we could help people who were being trafficked feel human and not walk around with their stuff in a garbage bag. And it's actually a really nice bag, and it has a really sweet message on the inside that says, be strong. And our ambassadors filled these bags with love and blankets and health stuff. And so I'm going to go and thank them and tell them how helpful they were for trafficking survivors.
How do people become ambassadors? What are those steps? Walk me through it.
So it's a really easy process. You don't have to make any commitment. You can call our helpline, again, 779-HELP, and just say you're interested. We will put you on the email invite list. And the great thing about it is you can show up when you can. You don't have to every month. There's no commitment. So really, you can, whatever time you have to give, we just appreciate.
And Tanya, you're also presenting on January 15th.
Yes, I am.
Tell me a little bit about what you're going to present.
So we're going to be doing the roadmaps activity, which I was trained on through the Department of Justice for their trafficking response and intervention program. And it's a simulation that walks through survivor stories who have been trafficked to give people a little bit of an idea of what that might look like in those situations.
So it's difficult to have a conversation about human trafficking and sexual violence without including the voices of many women who have cried out collectively and just recently to Congress about their abuses without receiving any justice. And now, given the examples of injustice at the highest levels of our society, what advice do you give women who are victimized by men with far less power?
Well, it can be really hard. A lot of times they don't see justice in the justice system, but sometimes that's not the only way to heal. And so we help survivors get into a safe place in their life to heal emotionally, spiritually, physically. And sometimes, unfortunately, that's not through the justice system, but sometimes we see success there as well. But the most important thing is that they know they're not alone and they could reach out to us and we'll walk that path with them.
Well, that gives hope.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that healing process. What's it like, and what's the length of time that it takes for someone to, I can't say recover their lives, they have to rebuild their lives?
It's not linear. It can take a while. But I think that having support and also just knowing that they, you know, oftentimes when we set beside survivors and restraining order hearings or criminal cases against their abusers, like Tanya was saying, they often don't get justice through that, but we remind them that they took their power back and they were able to say, it's not okay for you to treat me like this anymore. And that in itself can be very powerful and healing through that system. And then they come out of there and they feel like they took their power back. And that's what it's all about. Victimizations that we serve, their power is taken from them, from their abusers. And so taking that back can be very powerful and bring hope.
So it's a process of empowering and bringing personal agency back to an individual.
Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
And now they lose everything, not just their belongings, but their community. Mm-hmm. How do they rebuild that?
Yeah, survivors of all our victimizations are often really isolated. So when they're coming out of these situations, they are completely rebuilding. We have programs that can help them with housing, maybe to get back to, say, family members, really all different kinds of programs to help them rebuild their whole lives.
Okay, well, you both are doing extraordinary work. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you both.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
My guests were Tanya Day and Crystal Bueller of Community Works. They're co-presenters at the upcoming Gathering of Community Works Ambassadors on January 15th at Pascal Winery.